Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. The country is fundamentally in a civil war right now. I wrote a book called Stop the Coming Civil War because I saw this coming. Now, I got to tell you something. If Hillary Clinton wins, this is the most important election in American history. We all know that. We have one chance. As flawed as he is, Donald Trump is our only chance to save America. I said that from the beginning. I told you that's why I supported him. There were those in talk radio who wrapped themselves in the flag and in Ronald Reagan and the Constitution who tried every way they could to destroy Donald Trump. Now, of course, they're making believe they're for Donald Trump. But there is much the problem, the mainstream functional Republican operatives, as are the illegal aliens. They've done the damage already. Everything they said about Trump is now being said by the illegal aliens. But let's put aside the enemy within. Let's put aside the fifth column, which operates inside the Republican Party. They cannot take back their words. Nor will I forget their words. Nor should you forget their words, no matter how they wrap themselves in patriotism. I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War, My Savage Truth. That was before Government Zero. And in that book, I warned you that what is happening right now at Trump rallies would be happening across America. I said the nation is in real trouble and the seeds of a second conflagration have been sown. Of course, this was sown by the deceiver-in-chief in the White House, the most dangerous trickster in the history of America. And I wrote that it will not be a war of bullets and blood, but one of commitment to freedom and courage of conviction. There is no longer any chance for political discussion in this country. The split between right and left is irreparable. And what is happening now is what I predicted for 20 years in my message of borders, language, and culture. And I've tried to galvanize every liberty-loving American and warn the enemies of our way of life that difficult as the path ahead may be, the time has come, the facts are clear, the line must be drawn. Now, I cut my teeth on radio, exposing the political left's goals, tactics, and actions as they attempted to tilt the country's axis ever closer to violent socialism. And in this book, and in Government Zero, I laid out my beliefs about what leftists in our government do not want you to know, connecting the dots between their many frightening moves and raising the not-so-obvious issues they do not want discussed. I asked, why have so many of our top military commanders been summarily pushed aside by Obama after years of brave service? I asked, is the falsification of records by Veterans Administration personnel covering up the horrific neglect of our brave soldiers? I said, was that a sign of what's to come to the average American senior in particular with Obamacare? I asked, how is Obama's irresponsible foreign policy not just weakening us in Russia, China, and the Middle East, but actually endangering our security at home? I asked, what does it mean for our freedom and our way of life that negligent immigration law enforcement allows violent illegal aliens to cross the southern border into our country with little fear of penalty? I wrote it in Stop the Coming Civil War. It is a no-holds-barred tale, as gripping as any movie script, in which some superhero or secret agent saves the day. But according to me, true patriots are the only ones who are the superheroes who can save the country. My friends, we are here now. We are facing either the end of America or the beginning of America. Hillary Clinton, if she becomes president, will seize your weapons. She will eliminate the Second Amendment one way or the other. I'll lay it out for you. I'll make it very simple. I'll make it simple so that even the dummies out there can follow me. One, guns will be taken away. She'll make it illegal either through ammunition or registration. Your guns will be seized. Guns will be criminalized. Two, she will criminalize speech. Talk radio will disappear. She will pass it under the guise of Fairness and Communications Act, and I will be gone, as will everyone else who dares to speak the truth to these left-wing fanatic vermin. That's number two. If you think the Internet will be a refuge, you are mistaken. Hillary Clinton and her illegitimate cohorts will criminalize the Internet, as has been done in Europe, under the dictator Merkel, and as is being done around the world by the greedy pig who owns Facebook. Never forget that the internet giants get away with tax evasion, and as a result, they cater to the criminal thugs who run not only the Western democracy, so to speak, but the United States of America. The reason that the criminal thugs, for example, in Google are allowed in and out of the White House is quite clear. They're a useful tool of Barack Obama and the illegitimate left. And so if you dare criticize Mexican illegal violence, well, that will be, I guess, a crime under Hillary Clinton. And so that's why I say it's either Trump or nothing. We have nothing left. I told you that he would eventually use the mobs in the streets as his brown shirts, the thugs. How many times have I told you that? Just as Hitler had thugs in the streets, they weren't allowed to have guns in Germany, so they used clubs, and they intimidated people in the streets, as are the Mexican and the communist mobs in America, now beating people up in the streets. I know what's coming next. I've studied history. I know exactly what's coming next. What's coming next is what happened in Germany. There's going to be squads created on the right. They will be the tattooed men who are now in prisons who come out. They will be the mixed martial artists. They will be the boxers. They'll be the Hell's Angels. They will be the motorcycle gangs. They are going to start to organize as the protectors of the middle class. And they will be at these rallies to protect the people from these Mexican and communist mobs. I didn't say I want it to happen. Don't blame me, but that's what's going to happen. It's history repeating itself. Remember and never forget that Hitler, who never should have originated in Germany, should have died at birth. Let me be very clear on that. Hitler was a reaction to communist mobs in Germany. It's a very uncomfortable thing to have to say. But if you actually study the history of Germany, rather than the revisionist history of Germany, you will see that what was going on in Germany, in some ways, not of course, thank God, in all ways, mimicked what's going on in America now politically. The communists were out of control. Street mobs, the equivalent of Occupy movement, were raging in the streets with clubs, beating up people who protested their communist policies. In other words, the Bernie supporters in Hitler's time were raging out of control. The people were scared. And so the right-wing squads appeared. They were much tougher. Many of them were ex-veterans. And they frankly went in the streets and beat the hell out of the communists. They intimidated them. It got bloody and it got worse. And then, of course, the rest is history. I warned you this day would come. I told you I didn't want it to come. I told you the right answer was the ballot box. I told you. I warned you. To no avail, because no man can really stop the tide of human history. It's like trying to stop a tidal wave. Can't do it. Yes, my friends, it's down to what I predicted and stopped the coming civil war. Trump supporters terrorized by mobs, says the Drudge Report, but that's only the beginning of it. Many of you know what happened yesterday in a land that was once a land of free speech. By letting in people from countries where there is no history of democracy, no history of freedom, no history of fairness. What you have let in is the lowest level of that society. And that lowest level never, ever comes up to the level of the society. I'm not going to mince words. I'm going to tell you like it is. I saw what happened. I watched the video. I saw the Mexican thugs waving their ugly Mexican flag in my country. I saw them burning an American flag. I saw the rat San Jose mayor justifying the violence. I saw them beating up women. I saw them punching people. I saw them chasing people. I saw them jumping on police cars and the police were told to stand down while the laughing, thuggish Mexican criminals went wild in the streets. This is what leftism is right in front of your eyes. Now, what you may say is, you're a person in the middle. You're not a Republican. You're not a Democrat. And you don't know what to do as a result of seeing the violence by the Mexicans and the others on the far left. Now, the logical thing would be, hey, I don't like Trump, but at least this guy might protect us from these mobs. He'll build a wall and he'll throw these out of the country. He will throw these violent street protesters where they belong, which is south of the border. Just dump them there. Fly them there and leave them in the desert for all I care. Because if we don't take control of our nation, we've lost our nation. Europe is going, and is almost gone. because they wouldn't deport the violent Islamists they were bringing in. Well, I've warned you that not every Mexican who comes here works in a restaurant peacefully or mows your lawn or does your laundry. I warned you that they were letting gangs in here. And now these gangs have been loosed upon those of us who wish to see a Republican, Donald Trump, win the election. So you ask, why is this happening to this great nation? Well, I tell you what, I'm going to go to the scriptures, because Obama cited the scripture to defend putting grown men with beards in little girls' rooms, because I think the scriptures have an answer for us. It's in Jeremiah and other places. But Jeremiah wrote, I brought you into a land of fruitful fields to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, but when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. I think you can pretty much figure out what drugs, sex, and rock and roll has done to the morality of the United States of America. And so there are some left in the country who see the truth and don't wait and speak out. And they are punished for it. They are crucified for it in every way you can imagine. They are ostracized. They are rejected. And yet they keep speaking. Now, why do they do that? Again, Jeremiah said, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I have appointed you a prophet unto the nation. And then I said, but Lord, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For to whomsoever I shall send thee, thou shalt go. And whosoever I shall command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of them, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. It's times like these that make you understand either you go back to your heritage or you lose it altogether. And so you don't even know what your heritage is. If you're Jewish, you don't even know what the Bible is. Many of you Jews think that Judaism means humanism. Yeah, that was taught to you in the 60s or 70s. Well, I don't know. That old stuff don't mean anything. To me, being a Jew means being nice to other people. Really, how's that working out for the Jews of France, who are nice to their Muslim friends and being driven out of their neighborhoods? They're fleeing France, just as you're going to flee your own community one day, unless you steal yourself first. See, it starts with you. Don't look outside, because no one's going to help you. Don't look outside yourself. You have to make yourself a person to steal first, and all else will follow. You have to steal yourself. You understand what I'm saying to you? Don't look outside for anyone to come save you. There's no one there to save you. Nobody. It's you. My friend, you are now on the barricades. The vermin on the left have broken down the barricades. They're out of control. They're rioting. This is nothing in San Jose. This is just a symptom of the bigger problem, and that's just the beginning of what they're going to do. It's going to be a very long, hot summer, and it's going to be hotter after the summer. And these people who are being funded by the billionaires like George Soros are just a symptom of the bigger problem around the world. Be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. The summer of 2014, when the Stop the Coming Civil War was just out, I made a list of the positions that led to the state that we are in right now, inviting hundreds of thousands of Central American children and young adults, some of them known gang members, with distinguishing gang tattoos to enter the United States illegally, and then providing food and shelter for them before sending them off to, quote, friends and relatives in other U.S. cities. That was an attempt to undermine the entire social order. What I saw was the intentional refusal to provide critical medical treatment for injured and ill American servicemen through the Veteran Affairs medical system, instead catering to illegal aliens. Then I went through the list of Gitmo detainees that were released under Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel, who's now retired to a cushy job in Wall Street. That was a man who was Secretary of Defense, a stooge of Obama. It was Chuck Hagel who approved the transfer of five of the most dangerous long-term Gitmo inmates to the country of Qatar in exchange for Bo Bergdahl. Remember him? Remember Bo Bergdahl, who Obama called a hero? Well, Bo Bergdahl was an American soldier who was a deserter. Six American servicemen died attempting to find and rescue this piece of garbage after he fled his post as a deserter. But Obama glorified Bergdahl. So it's been going on for quite a while. It's 7.5 years of hard work by the worm in the White House, who wormed his way into the presidency and undermined the very halls of freedom. And now we wake up to a presidential election that's unlike any in my lifetime. I've never seen anything like this. And we have one candidate speaks about one thing, Donald Trump, borders, language, culture in his own way. And then we have the other. The other one speaks about the status quo. If she wins, she wants more illegal aliens. She wants a Tower of Babel in the schools. She wants the American flag taken down everywhere it appears. Maybe she'll have crosses broken off in the cemeteries, veteran cemeteries, as an affront to non-Christians. We don't know. I do know what she will do. We don't know about snapping the crosses off war memorials. I think that wouldn't be her first order of business. I'd say by year four, if she got away with what I'm about to tell you she's going to do, if she wins, God forbid, if she's not indicted first, I know what she'll do. First thing is she's got to control freedom of speech. Just as the universities have now eliminated free speech, by and large, in the name of free speech, she will eliminate free speech in the name of free speech. She will then go for the Second Amendment and take away your right to bear arms, as sure as I'm standing here. The third thing will be the freedom of assembly will be eliminated. It will only be permitted if they are mobs that support her positions. Once that is done, there's virtually nothing left to do. We will all be prisoners in our own country. It's that dark. It's that dire in my mind. Now, you could say I'm, you know, speaking from the point of view of depression, which I'm not. Realism is not necessarily depression. For 1 minute, just think for a second. You don't have to be depressed to see reality. Now, reality can be very disturbing, but it isn't depressing. In fact, when you're under the pressure that I'm under every day, undermined from within and undermined from without, not supported on any level by anybody in the media. No one supports this man, Michael Savage. I'm not crying. I don't care. I was built to take it. I mean, it's okay by me. I've come a long way, baby. In fact, I figured with my outspokenness, I never figured I'd get this far anyway. I never thought I'd get this far, but I told you that there are other forces in the world than you may believe. There are hidden forces that move things. Miracles happen. Moses parted the Red Sea. Maybe it's a metaphor, but he parted the Red Sea. And just when you think it's all over is when it just begins. And so it's not all over, it's just beginning. Your fight just begins. You see the Mexicans waving the flags, burning American flags, beating up protesters. You see the police standing down. Don't expect anything to be done with Loretta Lynch in the Attorney General's office.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
My number one advertiser is Swiss America. Craig Smith is a friend of mine. He's been with the show for 15 years. And he said, I want you to go to the Bible, which I know you believe in. He said, look at Isaiah 54, chapter 17. I'm going to read it to you because it's very important. You know, when men went into battle in the past, they would be given a benediction by a priest on the battlefield. Did you know that? It gave them the strength to go out and face the enemy. I see it today in the boxing rings, mainly amongst Hispanic boxers. I'm always amazed how they'll cross themselves and get on their knees before a fight. And I see what the vermin, excuse me, the Salenterates in the press have done to soldiers today where they're not even allowed to read a Bible. Only burkas and their holy book are allowed on the battlefield from the enemy. But Isaiah has an amazing statement before you go into any battle of any kind. Isaiah wrote, and he was a prophet. Let's say you don't believe in God. Let's say you're just an atheist, but you understand the Bible was written in your mind by the talk show hosts of the time. And Isaiah was a talk show host. Deuteronomy was a group of talk show hosts. Joshua was a talk show host. Samuel was a talk show host. You see what I'm saying? However you want to put it, just say it was a talk show. Jeremiah was a talk show host. Ezekiel was a talk show host. He wasn't a prophet. But Isaiah, let's say, was a talk show host in biblical days, and he said to the Jewish people who were constantly fighting for their survival, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their due reward from me, saith the Lord. Meaning, God will interfere against your enemies. You have God on your side. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, God will condemn them. That's what that piece means. And he said to me, Michael, take faith in it. Let's deal with what we have to do now. What we have to do now is make sure that we expose Hillary for the horror show that she actually is. This is not the Rocky Horror Picture Show. This is the Rocky Hillary Picture Show. Here is a woman, the most flawed woman in American political history, surrounded by scandal, protected by the Solenterites in the media, who permit her to give a speech that is filled with lies, without saying, Mrs. Clinton, look in the mirror. Look at what you've done to the world order. Look how you have cavorted with the worst people on the planet to bring about the worst possible consequences. Mrs. Clinton, tell us about the Arab Spring. Tell us how you feel ashamed for having destroyed Syria and destroyed Libya, Mrs. Clinton. But you won't hear that from Wolf Blitzer. He'll blink his way right to the bank. So here's a woman who wrecked the world order. This is a woman who initiated the Arab Spring. This is a woman who cheered when Gaddafi was killed, even though he was warning the West that if they kill him, he said we will turn into a Somalia. Now we have a Libya in meltdown. We have a Syria in meltdown. We have an Africa in meltdown, all because of this woman who would be president, who is now talking about how great she is on national security. Does it get any better than this, that if someone like this can run for the presidency after destroying the world? How much worse can it get? Well, it can get a lot worse, believe me. Meanwhile, there was a lockdown at UCLA when a brilliant aeronautical engineering professor was shot down and killed by a piece of third world garbage, brought in no doubt because of demands of affirmative action. He killed the professor, shooting him in cold blood after killing his girlfriend in Minnesota, came out here and killed the professor. Diversity killed this great American professor. But what's even worse about that story is that this Indian gunman, Mainak Sarkar, what's even worse is he's trying to steal the professor's reputation. The media has the nerve to publish this lunatic murderer's statement that the professor had stolen his ideas. This is after he had killed his girlfriend in Minneapolis. He had people on a kill list. He then drove out to UCLA and shot this Professor Klug. And this piece of garbage is taken seriously by the rats in the media. The same rats who have made him equivalent to the professor he shot. These are the same rats who are trying to run Trump off the rails. These are the same rats that should be investigated by the U.S. government when Trump takes over, because they're nothing but yellow journalists. You know what yellow journalism is? You know what the fifth column is? That's what we're looking at today. So this is a terrible story. Here's a Professor Klug, a married father of two children, a man who was a professor of aeronautical engineering, no doubt forced to take this student on because of affirmative action, this immigrant, and the student couldn't keep up, so he shoots the professor dead, and then the Solenterites in the media have the nerve to publish what this lunatic murderer had to say about the professor as though there was justification for it. How can we survive a nation of fools? Now, there's a related story about third world garbage that Obama's flooding America with. Yes, I'll say it like it is. If you don't like it, turn the show off. Third world garbage. We are not getting the best of the third world. We're getting the refuse of the third world. You see, if they were really good, they'd stay in their own country and rebuild their country. But Obama's picking the refuse of the world and dumping the garbage on us. And we have to carry them on our back. Here's another one. Burqa-clad woman batters homeowner with U.S. flag. Okay? How many of you seen with the slits only? The hate slits. A woman clad in a burqa attacked a Georgia homeowner with an American flag that was flying in front of the victim's home, police allege. According to cops, Aisha Ibrahim, 30, emerged Tuesday morning from a wooded area adjacent to victim Dami Arno's home in Lawrenceville, a city 30 miles northeast of Atlanta. The homeowner said that Ibrahim, whose eyes were only visible because she had a burqa on, walked up to her mailbox and pulled the flag out of it. Then, armed with the flag, which is attached to a four-foot-long PVC pipe, the Muslim in the burqa, Ibrahim, then advanced on the homeowner in a threatening manner, swinging the post and flag at her. As the homeowner's two children sought to help their mother, the Muslim in the burqa, Ibrahim, got one of her shoes off and struck one of the teenagers in the head. So then a neighbor enters the fight and was able to hold the Muslim in the burqa until the police department arrived. Well, the Muslim in the burqa, the hater, was arrested on a pair of battery counts, but she was not charged with a hate crime. To top it off, she gave the police a phony name, Amina Ali Hara. Of course she gave them a phony name. She was told to do it by her friends in the Muslim front groups who hate America. In a Facebook post, the homeowner expressed frustration that the Muslim in a burqa is not facing a hate crime charge. She wrote, a Muslim woman tore my flagpole down this morning and attacked me and my daughter with it after the fight. She was charged with simple battery. Two counts, nothing else, no hate crime, no destruction of property, no criminal trespassing, nothing, said the homeowner. In a post, the homeowner uploaded a photo of a sweater-clad Fred Rogers with the caption, quote, Mr. Rogers didn't adequately prepare me for the people in my neighborhood. That's because your neighborhood has been infected and invaded by a maniac in the White House, and it's going to get worse here. It's going to get much, much worse here because of the hater in the White House who is flooding America with the world's refuse. He is not bringing in the best and the brightest from these countries. In many cases, he's bringing in the worst he can find and dumping them all over America in order to upset the American order, you see. I actually don't want to call him the Manchurian candidate. I'll have to come up with the correct region of the world. Something along the lines of the Muslim Brotherhood's candidate. The Muslim Brotherhood's candidate of choice. You hear him catch his own voice as he's saying those things, because he knows it's all true. And then to top it off, he says, able to promote policy to protect special interests of those at the very top of the pyramid. Who is he spending his summer vacation with but those at the very top of the economic pyramid? Is he going to hang around with immigrants or poor or blacks or feminists? No, he's going to hang around with rich white guys in whatever the island they go to. It should only be Rikers Island, but it isn't. It should be Rikers Island, but it isn't. It's another island somewhere near Nantucket, which I always forget, because it means nothing to me. Nothing to me whatsoever. So now it's right-wing radio is making stuff up. But no one can change the fact that Trump now has 100% recognition value around the world. Did you know that? A study was done. He has 100% recognition around the world. Did you know that? Virtually everyone in the world knows who Donald Trump is. And guess what? Not everyone dislikes him. What if I tell you that many Muslims like Trump? You know, there are Muslims who have been here quite a long time in America. I don't have to tell you that. And they're as loyal as anyone you could imagine, probably more loyal than some people or most people. I'm sure they don't like the crop of Muslims that are being brought in by Obama. They don't wear burqas. The Muslims who have been here don't wear burqas. They don't wear the garb of the Middle Ages. They recognize that by doing this, they are put in harm's way, by the way. We know that many Hispanics love Donald Trump for the reasons I've described before. And I dare say even African Americans like Donald Trump for reasons I've mentioned before. You don't have to call and say I'm one of the above and I like him. No, I get it. I know I have the best stethoscope of all of the social media doctors in the nation. I've always had the most accurate stethoscope. It's why I've thrived for all of these years. That's why we call it the talk radio for the thinking person. I tend to skew with the smartest people in America. People who never listen to talk radio, who wouldn't waste a minute in the media, listen to this show somewhat regularly. I know that for a fact because I meet them from time to time. And I'm always amazed at their education and achievement level. We can't say that in general about all of talk radio. And I'm very proud of my audience. And it tells me an awful lot about their wants for America and their fears about what has been done to America. And they know what's going on. Be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
No wonder that people think that the deficit's gone up under my presidency when it's actually gone down. No wonder that they did a survey. A lot of white Americans think reverse discrimination is as big a problem as discrimination against minorities, even though black unemployment is twice as high as white unemployment. And the typical Hispanic woman makes 55 cents for every dollar a white man earns.
Stop. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you hear what he just said? A typical Hispanic woman makes 55 cents for every dollar a white man earns. Now, a typical Hispanic woman, all due respect, has not been in the nation as long as a typical white man who's been here for generations, and the white man might be working at a more skilled job than a typical Hispanic woman, because so far as I know, a typical Hispanic woman has an education level commensurate with the amount of money they are earning, as does the white man. So this race baiter is now using the big lie over and over again. Like Goebbels said, if you tell a big lie over and over again, it will become the truth, but it's no longer the truth. Now, I want to go back for a minute to the transgender insanity. An Oregon law was passed and allowed a sick jury to award 60,000 smackaroos to a transgender teacher. Why? Not because anyone picked on the teacher, but other teachers declined to use the teacher's preferred pronoun, which is they rather than him or her. The school had to pay $60,000. The criminal regime in New York City, the pay-for-play regime, has also established similar forced speech rules. Sick Canada is preparing a law that will punish people who argue against the transgender ideology. They're demanding the gender identity. Gender identity requires individuals to ignore millions of years of evolution. Millions of years of common sense. A boy is a boy, a girl is a girl. Every animal on earth understands that. Every human being understands that. Muslim, Hindu, Jew, Christian, Zoroastrian, atheist, everyone knows what a boy is and what a girl is, and everyone knows there are gay people, and there are people who are confused about their sexuality. We all know that. Never before has it become a criminal act to know what reality is, except under this twisted sister in the White House, who has now forced us down the throats of America. It's gotten so bad that it is now an offense in Washington State to ask a man in a woman's bathroom. He could be just a grown man, a thug. If you ask him if he thinks he's a male or a female, you committed a crime. So if a pervert goes into your daughter's bathroom, and he's just a pervert, and you have a cop go in there and ask him if he's a male or a female, that's a lawsuit now, all because of the sick, twisted man in the White House. It's just getting crazier by the day. It's gotten so crazy that even the ACLU leader in Georgia quit because her children, African-American head of the ACLU, said that her daughters were freaked out by men inside their restrooms. And so she quit. She's leaving the ACLU. The ACLU, as you know, is a criminal organization posing as a legal group. And when Donald Trump becomes president, they need to be given a fair trial. The leadership needs to be given all due process and put before a jury for what they have done, the kind of money they've taken illegally against people. And after this trial, they need to repatriate the ACLU. They need to also take back all the money they've stolen over the years, if it means selling their houses, their cars, seizing their assets and selling them off and giving it back to the people who have been damaged by the criminals in the ACLU, who have used the law that they've written, the laws they've written, and the lawyers they've hired to browbeat people, to steal their property, steal their ranches, steal their dignity. When Donald Trump becomes president, there will be payback. They all know it. And that's why they're running scared. That's why he will be president, because we the people want the payback. We want to see all the Marvins in the ACLU running for the nearest airport, running as quickly as they can to get out of America because they don't belong here. They never did. They are not Americans. They've used the kindness of America, the decency of America, the Christian charity of America to destroy this country. And they've profited greatly. Look at the houses that they own. Have you ever looked into the salaries that the Solenterites who run the ACLU, have you looked at their salaries? You think they're doing it because they believe in what they're doing, or because they found a way to hurt everybody using various weapons against us? That's why Trump is thriving, rising. He will make up for the years of abuse that we have all suffered. I mean, I'm telling you this from the heart. I know what's going on. I know why he's surging. I don't need to read the ACLU. I don't need to read ABC's website to know why he's surging. I don't need to consult with a consultant as to why Trump's popular. They're all geniuses. All the idiots who put him down are now working for him. I love that one. Look, I can't follow the insanity of our times, to be honest with you. But I'm glad that children are smarter than their liberal parents. Because the transgender bathroom issue will be Obama's singular disaster, the biggest singular disaster that he's remembered for.
Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Is it a dilemma? Is it a Morton's fork? Is it a Hobson's choice? In the years I've been doing my Facebook page, which is, you know, a year or two now, I posted many different stories. But I've never seen a reaction as I have to the gorilla story. Hundreds of thousands of people have gone onto my Facebook page, at Michael Savage on Facebook, to my headline. And my headline on the first day of the gorilla story was this. Majestic gorilla shot dead trying to save child because trash parents let him fall into enclosure. That is my headline. I'll read it again in case you missed it. My initial reaction was this. Bold caps, for those of you who are offended by it. I write in bold caps, so you're offended by it. Majestic gorilla shot dead trying to save child because trash parents let him fall into enclosure. On that one alone, 217,000 people responded in all different ways. And then I found new footage showing the gorilla actually protecting the child and holding the child's hand after the dumb mother let the child crawl over a 3-foot wall and walk through 4 foot of bushes. So I changed my headline as follows on Michael Savage's Facebook page, and I made it very personal. Last year, I wrote, the Savage family donated over $300,000 to saving gorillas, African elephants, and even humble dogs. Please check out a copy of Teddy and Me, because all profits will go to protecting our animal friends. I have very strong feelings, very strong beliefs, very strong commitment to saving the mountain gorillas, saving the elephants, and even saving the poor dogs. But let's talk about this story, because all of you are incensed over it one way or the other. And on that one, over 200,000 people, or approximately 200,000 people, went on it. There are many, many different ways to look at this. The child is alive, the gorilla is dead. Was it a Hobson's choice? No, that's the wrong usage of the word. What was it? Was it a dilemma? Wasn't that either. What was the choice that the zoo had when the dumb mother, the stupid mother, let the child crawl up a 3-foot wall and crawl through bushes and fall into the gorilla pit? What would you have done if you were the mother? Tell me what you would have done. The most emotionally charged of all topics out there, and what's almost secondarily tragic to me, is that this greatly overrode our respect for the dead warriors laying in veterans' graves across America and the world for that matter. And we cared about the gorilla, as we should, by the way. I didn't say we shouldn't care about the vets, but people responded emotionally to this in many different ways. And I want you to respond to who was responsible. Do you think the gorilla had to be shot dead? It is not a Hobson's choice, because that's a false illusion of choice. Because it is not a choice between two equivalent options. Then what was the equivalent option here? Is it a choice between two undesirable options? Well, if that's what it was, which it appears to be, that's a dilemma. A Hobson's choice is one that is between something or nothing. This was not a Hobson's choice. Who was responsible? I've drawn my conclusion. It's the mother. She should have been arrested for child endangerment. I don't care whether she intended it to happen. It happened. That's like the mother left the child in a car with the windows up because she was busy on a cell phone or was having a bad day. She didn't mean to kill her child, but the child died. Well, in this case, she didn't mean for the child to fall over the enclosure, but the child crawled up. Think about how long it takes for a child to climb 5 feet of a cement wall and then 4 foot of hedge, all right, so that you can have a natural experience and be a voyeur looking in on the poor gorillas. Okay, how long would it take a little boy to climb up a 5-foot wall? How did he even get started on the wall? I'll tell you how. I'll tell you how. He didn't climb up that wall. He couldn't have. The mother put him on that wall. She put him on the wall, in my estimation, so he could look through the bushes at the gorilla. The mother should be arrested for child endangerment. Now, there is footage of a previous incident years ago where a baby fell into a gorilla pit that you have to look at, your heart will break. The gorilla actually protected the baby and then withdrew into its own enclosure, in the back of the enclosure, rather, into a doorway to let them get the baby. And that gorilla was not shot. So my question to you is, what do you think? How do you feel about this? I know how I feel about it. I want the mother put into jail for a child endangerment. And I want to know why the mother wasn't shown. Why is the mother not seen anywhere? Why doesn't she have her own reality show yet? You know, Real Housewives of the Zoo enclosure? Where are the worms of Hollywood? How come the worms of Hollywood haven't offered the dumb mother her own reality show? How to drop a baby into a gorilla pit and achieve 15 minutes of fame? Where is the media on this? Where's the mother? How come the mother's not being shown? Is there a reason the mother is not seen? Where is the mother? Who was the mother? How did she let this happen? Why was she not arrested? That's what I kept asking. I think the mother is responsible, not the zoo. Frankly, the zoo had no choice, incidentally. The mother was the one who made this whole thing set in motion. She did it. Now, was this a Hobson's choice? No, that's the wrong use of a term. Because many people are going to say they had no other choice. A Hobson's choice is a free choice in which only one thing is offered. Was there only one thing offered here? Was it either kill a gorilla or nothing? That's the question I'm asking. What was the option? Please don't call and say they could have used the tranquilizer dart. We've all found out by now, having studied the gorilla story, that the dart wouldn't have worked quickly enough and it might have freaked the animal out and he would have crushed the baby to death. These are amazing animals. And this animal is so strong, the gorilla, that he can crush a coconut in his hand. You ever try to break a coconut with a machete? I have. In my years in the islands, it's not as easy as you may think. Coconuts are really tough. Nature made it that way. The evolution made it that way. So they can float over thousands of miles in salt water and not be permeated by the salt water and land on another landmass and then germinate into a palm tree. Very tough. But a gorilla can break it with a single hand. That gorilla could have killed that baby with the blink of an eye. Now, of course, if you watch the video of the gorilla story, you see the people, probably rightly so, freaking out, screaming and yelling. They panicked the gorilla. The right thing to do would have been to get the people out of there immediately. Of course, there were no zoo people there. I didn't know what happened. Get the people away from the gorilla. Calm the situation down. That would have been step one. But no one, look, it happened so quickly, they just went and got the gun and shot him. That's always the easiest answer, isn't it? Just kill the animal. That's all. Just shoot the animal. That's always the answer. Now, I know I'm going to hear that a baby is more important than a gorilla. I get it. I got it. We all know that. We're going to hear about the human supremacy. I got that. I hear it. I hear that. The racial issue came up already. Harambe, the poor, helpless gorilla, executed by someone with a rifle at Cincinnati Zoo to protect a 4-year-old child, Isaiah, whose idiotic, irresponsible mama allowed him to crawl over a 3-foot wall and through 4 feet of hedge. Okay? I have tremendous compassion for this animal. Well, it's dead. Dead. If you look at the footage, the gorilla actually protected the little boy for a while. And then the people started to panic and scream, and the gorilla got scared. By the way, it's an outrageous situation. Have you seen what went up on Twitter right away from some black people? Did you see any of this? That it was a racial thing? One moron wrote, killing an endangered gorilla at a zoo for a white boy's safety is white privilege. If the boy was black, they would have found a tranquilizer, wrote one of the racial imbeciles. Of course, the boy was not a white boy. Not that it would have mattered, but he was African American. That's for those of you who are quick on the draw because of Eric Holder and others. But let's put the racial issue aside just for a moment, my friends, because I need your opinion on this issue. Who was responsible for the, first of all, the boy falling in the pit? Was it the zoo or the mother? Now, you know, there's been a movement over the years to make the enclosures more natural. So they made it more natural with no fencing. And as a result of making it more natural because of the animal rights activists, there were no bars over the cement wall. There was a nice bush to make it look as though you were walking in the, in Rwanda somewhere. And then you were peering through a bush on a safari and seeing the poor gorillas in their natural habitat. And in order to make your experience more natural, there were no bars over the cement wall. There was just a hedge. So you, like a peeping Tom, can peep through the hedge and look at the gorillas through the hedge. Where was Mama? Where was the mother? What was she doing? What was she on Facebook? What was she taking pictures of her face next to a gorilla cage? Where is the mother? Why has her iPhone not been seized and timed to the second that the boy climbed up over that wall? Now, by the way, I mean, I have children who have grown up. And to be honest with you, children are like a barrel of monkeys if you don't know what they're like. They are very hard to control every second, to be very fair. They're unpredictable. I've been at, when my kids were young, I mean, I'll be very honest with you, there were some freak-out moments. I don't know one parent who hasn't had a freak-out, heart-stopping moment with a little child. I know we did. I remember once I went to a fairground on a Memorial Day weekend, I think. I think it was July 4th, I don't know which it was. Ferris wheels, candy corn, people, nighttime, holding the child's hand. I let go of the child's hand for, I don't know, a second. I turned my back and my child was gone. Because he was always running somewhere. Zip! The legs went zoom, disappeared. We had a nice 20 minutes looking for him. Every fear known to mankind goes through your mind. So I've been there and done that. I've been on both sides of the aisle. I'm not like a talk show host who has no children, giving his opinion on how it is to raise children. There's a lot of experts in that. Never went to college, but they have a lecture for you on what it means to get a college degree. They'll tell you it's worthless. Never had a child, but they're experts on child rearing. Well, I had children. I have an expertise on raising children from my point of view. And, you know, it's hard to predict what the kid is going to do next. But if you're around a gorilla enclosure that has no bars over the wall, you make sure you're holding on to that kid. You hold him on by his, you hold his belt, you hold his shirt, you hold his jacket. And you even had the child said, I want to go in there, Mommy. Where was Mommy? What was Mommy doing? What was Mommy looking at on her iPhone? I'm not looking to blame Zuckerberg, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying she was on Facebook, so indict Zuckerberg. I didn't say that. There was negligence here. And I'm afraid, my friends, the negligence, in my opinion, the negligence all goes to the mother. Because if she is allowed to sue that zoo, which of course some shyster in Cleveland or Cincinnati is already doing, some evil, low-life, scum, vermin pig with a law degree is already lining up a lawsuit against the zoo, which harms everybody, including the endangered animals. Oh, don't get me started on tort lawyers, because I have a solution for them as well. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. We're talking about the gorilla story. It's the number one reaction I've ever seen on my Facebook page in all the years, more than to any other thing I ever put up. And it's all over the map. Everyone has an opinion. Now, I got news for you. If you haven't watched the videotape, it's heartbreaking to watch this because the boy falls into the moat and lays there a while, apparently knocked out. The gorilla doesn't run over and start to kill it, crush it. The gorilla comes over and actually, in the most delicate way imaginable, with two little ones, the opposing thumb, the hand, and he touches the little boy and holds him. Literally holds him by the hand. It's a delicate, this animal is a sensitive animal. It could have ended another way, but it didn't. Things went out of control. The crowd got freaked out, as they would, panicked. The mama sounded like she was on medication. Mommy's here, mommy's here, mommy's here. You hear? The child's laying next to a 400-pound gorilla. Mommy's here. Mother negligence should go to jail. Now, I have a lot of emotions involved in this because I involved myself for years in protecting mountain gorillas the best I can. But every time I get pictures from the animal group that protects gorillas of the hands of the gorilla chopped off by the wonderful, sensitive Africans, the Chinese bourgeoisie are so low that they'll do anything for ivory. They don't care if you kill every elephant on the earth, as long as they can show a piece of ivory in their living room. They're the lowest of the middle. Okay, let's start there. The end user is the problem. As for the gorilla, why do they cut the hands off and kill the poor thing? What are they doing? Why are they killing gorillas? Why are they hunting and killing gorillas? Because they're starving to death. So to them, the gorilla's just meat. To us, it's not meat. The gorilla is not a cow. my friends. There is a difference between endangered species and a poor domestic animal that is raised for meat. This is not to say it's pleasant to watch a cow being slaughtered. It is not. However, a gorilla is not a cow for a number of reasons. For those of you who think that you can simply wash this whole thing away by saying what difference is there between a mosquito and a gorilla, that's a kind of obviously idiotic thing to say, but people have said that. It's just another life form. I want to stick to a basic question of who is responsible for the gorilla execution. I say the other. Now, having laid the groundwork, and I have you all calling, and I'll take your calls, believe me, I want to tell you something that's very personal about this. Way back when, I had gone into a pharmacology program. Yes, I'm going to tell you a personal story about killing mice, just so you know who I am. I'm talking about 1968. 1968, I won a National Science Foundation Fellowship. I was a high school teacher. And I went to a university, and I enrolled in, I believe it was a master's degree program in pharmacology. And I was given the task by a professor of killing rats, lab rats. And I had no money. I had $300 a month. That was my whole fellowship. Young wife, no money, $300 a month. That was my entire stipend. 6,000 miles away from home. And he said to me, he was really an evil professor, as those guys can be pretty bad, some of them. He said, either you continue to kill the animals or you're going to lose your fellowship and you'll have nothing. You'll wind up in the gutter. I said, tell you what, I'll take the gutter. Goodbye. And I walked out of the laboratory. I've done this before. I had a position with a major corporation, and the CEO's son, a 25-year-old moron, was given the job of science director. I liked this job. It was a good job. I traveled far from home for the job. And the CEO's son was a moron, an arrogant moron. Came in and he said, listen, Dr. Savage, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to report to me every day. I said, yeah, drop dead. I walked out of the office. I went to human resources. I said, write me a check. I'm leaving. They settled with me and I left. I left. I won't name the company the next day. I wouldn't take it. There are things I will not do. Someone pushes me, believe me, I know how to walk. Someone pushes me too hard, I know how to push back. But the point they're making is, I walked away from that pharmacology lab.
Savage.
I spent the whole day talking about the killing of Harambe the gorilla, and it got to me. I want to know who the response team is who killed him. We've been searching for pictures or names of the response team. Who was the dangerous animal response unit who shot the gorilla? Who are they? The response team we read includes full-time keepers, vets, maintenance, zoo leadership, and security staff members. Who are they? Who pulled the trigger on Harambe? Why isn't the hero being shown? I'd like the answer to that question. Slain zoo gorilla was putting an arm around the child, according to one of the greatest primate experts in the world, Jane Goodall. I saw that with my own eyes. It was the people that scared that beautiful, gentle giant. By the way, lowland gorillas are not aggressive animals. As little as I know about primates, even though we are involved in supporting those who, let's say, save them in the wild, the lowland gorilla is not an aggressive species. This is a beautiful animal. And by the way, there were two female gorillas in the cage. Do you know that they grieve like humans do? It's enough to rip your heart out. Has anyone given those female gorillas an idea of where Harambe is, their friend for all these years? The male? Where are the lady gorillas, the women gorillas, female gorillas? Has anyone given them a chance to grieve? That's what the Jane Goodall is asking. She said, are they allowed to see and express grief, which is so important to them? You hear what I'm saying? She also said, I feel sorry for you, those of you who killed the gorilla, having to try to defend something which you may well disapprove of. Jane Goodall declined to comment further. I had a dream last night. I talked about the gorilla yesterday. It's a heartbreaker. There's almost no win on this one. It's almost no one's right and no one's wrong. I mean, the only person who should be indicted is the mother. The mom. I had children. I didn't let them go in a dangerous situation. I held on to their clothing if I had to. Who lifts a child up on a 3-foot wall to look at a gorilla? Except a negligent parent. She should be indicted for child endangerment as far as I am concerned, but I don't want to relive that again. Or if you care to sound off on it, of all the stories I have ever posted on my Facebook page, this has received by far the greatest response of people who want to sound off on this. So it would be foolish for me to say, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I had a dream about animals. It's a funny thing. I treat my dog very well. As you know, he's my little hero. That's why I did a book, Teddy and Me. But, I mean, I don't worship the dog. Don't get me wrong. I just like the guy. He's a good friend of mine. And a constant companion. And most of the time, he brings out the best in me. Sometimes I am so ill-tempered that I just don't talk to him in the right way. But I never do anything more than that with him. And he just goes the other way. If he sees I'm in a bad mood, he just looks at me. I see the eyes go, and he goes in the other room. He knows better than to bug me. But I had a dream that I was in a forest. For those of you who follow this show and have come to understand that sometimes I divulge my dreams, a dream I was in a forest, and I came upon two German shepherds that were roped to trees, and it was in the most inhumane way I could imagine. They were mid-sized German shepherds. They were not the large ones, maybe the 100-pounders. And one of them was roped by the neck to two trees, one to the left and one to the right. And the poor dog could not get off the ropes, no matter which way he went. He couldn't run. He couldn't walk. And his neck was all, like, naped up from the ropes. It was pressed against his neck, the fur. He was in agony. And the other dog was on a single rope and was running in circles, howling, trying to free the other dog. Of course, it symbolizes what we all feel about ourselves in a way. We all feel chained around the neck by our society and by the strictures of our politically correct culture. I understand that. And by the communist thief in the White House who says one thing and does another, constantly tightening the noose around our neck, whether it's on spying or using the IRS as a weapon or by catering to our enemies or bowing down to the Hiroshima situation while spitting on the graves of our war veteran, we all feel the noose tightening and we just are ready to snap. Anyway, in this dream, I released them from their snares and they came with me and I remember trying to feed them, and that was the whole dream. It's only about trying to treat the innocent creatures of the world better than they're treated on this planet. We've evolved as a species, haven't we? I know there are many of you who have not evolved and you think that dogs are to be beaten. Dogs to be fed into a pit bull pit. Oh, yeah, some of you still do that. I know that. Some of you are still unevolved human beings. But most of humanity has evolved beyond that. Now, by the way, there's only one religion that hates dogs. I don't even have to tell you which one it is. Select from above. Christians, Jews, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, Zoroastrians. There's only one religion that hates dogs. Did you know that? They treat dogs about the same way that they treat women in their home countries. And yet your president keeps bringing more of them in than of any other religion. Why is that? What do you think the society will be like in 20 years? How about in 2 years? And for the Hillary supporters out there, why do you want her as president? I can give you one reason why she belongs in prison rather than in the Oval Office. But I'll leave that to you. Why would you vote for a woman of such low character and of such a failed background? I don't understand it. I could see electing a Democrat who is a patriot. I could see that. You had a candidate like that, and they drove him off the stage in the first month. He's the former Navy Secretary. The finest Democrat of the whole pack they drove off the stage because it would have shown her for what she is. Also, my friends, I'm going to give out copies of my wonderful book, Teddy and Me, especially in this time of the killing of Harambee. I think it's more important than ever to respect our furry friends. But anyway, that's a separate question. Another issue on the show. Donald Trump is criticizing the media, rightly so. They are the reason for the demise of America. How many years have I said that to you? Raise your hand if you have the answer. I've put up with the guff of these solenterates for 22 years. They've smeared me. They've misquoted me. They've boycotted me. They've ignored me. And now, finally, I and others like me have someone fighting for us. His name is Donald Trump. I see the audience out there, this vast audience of 300-some-odd thousand people every 15 minutes. That's the AQH of this radio show. It's larger than any football field you've ever been to. Think about that. Think about that. I'm not intimidated by the numbers, and yet I know you're there, and I know each one of you is an individual. And I know that not every one of you agrees with me. In fact, some of you despise my politics. And yet you're attracted to the show and you listen to it. It's not to hear me stumble. It's because somewhere within you, you know that I'm right. Somewhere inside, you know that I'm right, and you're waiting for the light bulb to go off in your own brain until you finally say, you know, I was wrong all these years. But I'm not out to convert you. I could care less what you do. I'm not an evangelist. I don't rub my face in cornflakes. I'm not out to sell you a footstool, a toadstool. I'm not out to sell you anything, frankly. I have a lot of other things that I really want to say that I just stopped myself from saying. I also want to talk about infectious diseases that are surging in the U.S. of A. Stories now of Zika, TB, measles spreading throughout the United States. Leishmaniasis, that's a flesh-eating bacteria, uncontrolled. And the liar-in-chief, the double-talking deceiver in the White House, and his little boys at the CDC are lying through their teeth about the dangers they are putting us in. And when Donald Trump becomes president, there should be a trial of those in the CDC for having known what was going on and looked the other way and lied for Obama's political ends. Yes, there should be a trial, and we'll name them who they are. They should be put on trial for having brought diseases into the country when their job was to have been the gatekeeper to prevent diseases from coming into the country. And they have names. They look very nice in their suits and ties. And I'm sure their mothers love them. But I don't love them. They are criminals. They are societal criminals. And there should be a trial for them. Every other rational Western society tries governmental officials who knowingly lie to the people in their country. I can give you one example after another. I remember when I was, oh God, it was a long time ago, in France. Long time ago in France, I think it was in the 70s, there was a contaminated blood supply. I think it was hepatitis that got released into a blood supply. It was such an outcry in France that they tried the head of their health department, whatever it is called. She was put on trial and put in prison, even though she didn't knowingly contaminate the blood supply. It was her job to protect the blood supply. And that's how they kept their governmental officials honest. And I'm sorry. I really don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican. I demand a trial for these directors of the CDC who are letting Zika and the other diseases into this country and doing nothing about it but lying. I'm looking at something on the screen now. I want to start breaking things. Elephants could vanish from one of Africa's key reserves within 6 years. Elephant populations in Tanzania's Selous National Park could collapse unless poaching and mining are urgently controlled, says the World Wildlife Federation. Now, if you've listened to the show, you've known I've devoted a lot of resources of the family for elephant protection to no end. I don't know where the money goes. It got so bad that we were then only funding groups that funded ex-Navy SEALs who were hunting down and killing the poachers, because that's the only thing to stop them. The poachers don't care what you say about them in Brooklyn. The poachers don't care what you say about them in Los Angeles, in anyone's house. The poachers have to be put down because they're a danger to the world. 6 elephants are killed every day by poaching syndicates in Tanzania. 6 of these beautiful elephants killed every day by poaching syndicates. So low-life throwbacks in China can have a little memento on their little middle-class living room wall. The fact of the matter is, as I've told you on the show many times, killing off the wildlife is not only a moral travesty, it will have huge financial consequences for Tanzania, this throwback nation. Because this throwback nation gets $6 million in annual revenues just from the elephant reserve. And by killing off the elephants, the people living in the surrounding area will also suffer. Remember, you need a large wildlife population and pristine natural ecosystems in order to generate tourism. If you wipe out the elephants, if you degrade the habitat through mining and oil exploration, you'll kill tourism, you'll kill the ecosystem, and you'll kill off the human population. And that's why harmful industrial greed, harmful industrial activities need to be stopped. Poachers need to be executed in order for America, in order for the world to go forward. What good does me saying it do? Nothing. The only thing these people know is lethal force. And unfortunately, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. The killing of poachers was eliminated by the Tanzanian government about a year ago. So they were bought off, as you well know. And therefore, I don't know what the hope may be. But every time I look at elephants, especially pictures of an elephant with her calf, and I realize how hard the survival is for these creatures in the wild, and I see that we as humans are such lowlifes that we're lower than an ant. Most human beings are actually lower than a rat. But don't get me started on my distaste for the human race. If you don't mind, I'll go into it another time. because the human beings are not the highest of the animal species. Not after you see what they're doing to the elephants, to the gorillas, and to the other endangered species. And for those of you who say an elephant is no different than a cow, all I can say is I pity you. You have no concept of what you are talking about. Be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. You know, years ago there was a poem written, I don't know who wrote it, but he said during the eco crisis of the 60s, he wrote that I am the eagle. When we saw that the eagles were dying because their eggs were cracking because of the use of DDT, people didn't understand the relationship between the eagle's death and their own death, meaning from cancer, for example. You don't understand that we have epidemics of various kinds of cancers and they don't come out of the thin air. These cancer epidemics are related to environmental degradation, environmental toxins, environmental poisons, including hair sprays, house sprays, food sprays, nose sprays, ear sprays, lawn sprays. They're all toxic. They're all killing you. Every time I see an ad for them, I say crime, 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 criminal, criminal, criminal. Every time I go into a house and smell an air freshener, I run out, cancer causing. Every time I go in a car and smell an air freshener, I go out of the car, cancer causing. Believe me, I've studied this for 40 years. I know what I'm talking about. But the fact of the matter is, when I was involved in that in the beginning, way back in the late 60s and early 70s, there was a poem that tried to explain that when the eagle's eggs were cracking because of DDT in the ecosystem, it did affect the average guy out there and the average woman. The man wrote, he said, I am the eagle. And what he was trying to say is, yes, you are the eagle. It's all an ecosystem. You are the eagle. When the eagle's egg cracks, it means that you're being poisoned as well. When the elephant is slaughtered by low-life murderers in Tanzania, they're killing you. Do you understand that? When a zoo kills a glorious creature like Harambe because a stupid mother was allowed into the zoo and allowed her child to climb the wall, that gorilla was you. You were Harambe. Do you understand that? You were shot dead in that park. You were killed because of a stupid mother that should never have had children. And I think I'll pause right there before I say something I really regret. I am the eagle. I am the gorilla. I am the elephant. I am Michael Savage. There's a little story that came out here in California. There's a CEO of a company called Theranos, and her net worth was allegedly $9 billion. They said it was $9 billion. And it was a blood testing company of some kind. Well, it's a troubled company, and last month, 2 years worth, 2 years worth of blood test results had to be voided from its machines. And now the Wall Street Journal says the company is worth zero, meaning that the CEO who founded it, Elizabeth Holmes, has a net worth of $0, according to Forbes. It's an interesting story. And yet she's been lauded as a great American, role model. There she is with Katie Couric. Shows you what league she's in. Amy Schumer, another great prize of humanity. There she is with another great prize of humanity, speaking with Joe Biden, the great genius. Anyway, I don't never heard of a founder and CEO of Theranos, Elizabeth Holmes, now has a net worth of $0, according to Forbes. I don't know what it was. I don't even know what they did. Blood testing, I have no idea. But they raised $900 million. $724 million that it raised. Can you imagine what's going on in the world? You probably can't raise the money to pay your Visa card. But if you come up with a fake company that doesn't do anything and you call it a high-tech company and you know how to go to networking with Google executives, there's $900 million for you right there.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here's a little more news for you on the Savage Nation. Obama signs a bill banning the government use of the word Negro and Oriental. President Barry Obama signed a bill into law Friday banning the federal government from using the terms Negro and Oriental. making the official terms African American and Asian American. The measure, H.R. 4238, was an amendment to the Local Public Works Capital Development and Investment Act. In other words, if they wanted the grease, in other words, if they wanted the money to fill the potholes, all the graft, you cannot believe what kind of money is going to be in the highway bill. I suggest you watch The Godfather. So in other words, if you wanted the money in your neighborhood to fill potholes and to grease the palms, you had to agree not to use the words Negro and Oriental. That's how they do it. Now, I don't have any comments on this. American Indians will now be referred to as Native Americans. A Spanish-speaking individual of Spanish descent will be referred to as Hispanic. Get your list now. Write it down. Under Obama, you need a new lexicon. I haven't used the word Oriental ever in my entire life, by the way. I always use the word Asian. Now they have to lecture me on how to apply it to an individual. If I was describing a person who I met who was Chinese or Japanese or Korean, I'd say, oh, you know, that fellow, the Asian guy. If I'm talking about a Mexican, I say the Spanish guy, by the way. That's the term I use. I rarely use the term Mexican because it could be a Honduran, it could be an El Salvadoran, it could be a person of Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua. So I say, oh, you know, the Spanish guy, because they speak Spanish. I define it by the language, because it's more easily... You know. Now I need the government to tell me what to refer to people as. I've not used the Negro word. I mean, I'm not making a joke of it. I don't use the word. I've always said African-American. What is this necessary for? Why is he doing this? Why? Hello? Last month, Washington State Senator so-called Pramila Jayapal changed something else. Last month, the Library of Congress began revising its official use of terms like illegal alien and alien on its subject headings. After a group of college maniacs, drug addicts and psychotics, and the psychos at the American Library Association, imagine, who's taken over the American Library Association? Everywhere you turn, the nuts have taken over everything. Protested the agency's use of those phrases, illegal alien. Oh, God, it's getting sicker by the day. I hope it changes. Now, if you think I'm going to talk about Juanita Broderick, I'd rather lose my power of speech. If you think that I'm going to go into the gutter and talk about Bill Clinton's peccadilloes at this stage of my career, at this late stage of America's demise, you think I'm going to talk about Bill Clinton's peccadilloes, I'd rather lose my power of speech. I'm not going to do it. If that's all you want to do, man, you got a lot of places to go for that one. I'm not doing a flashback to 1996. There are too many problems in this country for me to waste my time on that trash, let me tell you. Now, yesterday we did a great show. I said in this post-legal age, which crimes should be legalized? Should prostitution be legalized? Should drugs be legalized? I'd like to hear one of the damn candidates talk about America and its social problems or our international wreckage of Hillary Clinton instead of what her stupid husband did in 96. Oh, no, but I have to hear Juanita Broderick did this, that one said that, the dress was blue, the dress was purple. If the American people are that stupid, then you don't deserve a president. You deserve a dictator. Yeah, there, I got that out of my system. Now, you want to talk about sex scandals. Cosby is Bill Clinton. NBC labels Bill's sex scandals another low. They are, by the way, another low. NBC labels Bill's sex scandals at another low. It is another low. I said it last week and you attacked me. And I'll say it again. It's disgusting. What happened to the wall? What happened to the trade deficit with China? Suddenly went away. Now we're up to Bill Clinton's peccadilloes again. This is stupid. And if you think I'm inconsistent, you're wrong. I'm very consistent. Because when Bill Clinton was first accused of these crimes, which he obviously committed, I was on the radio. I wouldn't talk about it. I said, I don't care about what he's doing. This is a cover-up for what he's really doing. And now it's another cover-up for what the real Clinton scandals are. Do you get it? The real Clinton scandals are not what Bill did 10 years ago, before the heart attack. The real scandals are what she is doing now. That's what we should be talking about. The Middle East, the Arab Spring, the email scandals, amongst others. Those are the scandals. So the morons are already hitting me already. The morons think I'm attacking Donald Trump. The people are stupider than I think. Dumb. Again, I said I'm not going to talk about Bill Clinton's peccadilloes from the 90s. Anyone who does is a moron. That's all you can do in radio. You don't belong in radio. You belong in a madhouse. That's what I said. And I'll say it again, and don't think you're going to bend me around to your will and make me follow the lead of the morons and talk radio for making that the whole show. I will not do it. I'm the one who put Trump on the map, idiots.
And the others who are now licking his boots, put him down. You forgot the whole story already? Unbelievable how dumb people are. I'm starting to think people are stupider than I thought. I've overestimated my audience all these years. But you know what? I've always followed the beat of my own drum, so to speak. I'll continue to do it right now through the election. Whether you like it or not is your business. But I have to like what I'm doing, and I have to like what I hear coming out of my mouth. And if you think I'm going to indulge in rolling in the gutter, Juanita Broderick and this one and that one, I'm not doing it. Stupid! The world is burning, and that's all you want to talk about is Bill Clinton. It's stupid, and it's embarrassing. Yes, I support Donald Trump. I have Donald Trump ice cubes. I have a Donald Trump tie. I have a Donald Trump hat. I ordered the Donald Trump belt. I'm looking to get Donald Trump sneakers. I have Donald Trump bobbleheads in every room. I've ordered special bronzes made of Donald Trump to put in on every counter in my house. Yes, don't worry about it, okay? Now, I want to talk about a number of other things. Your president... Yeah, well, and he was just going there, he apologized. First president in history to do this, first president in history to do that. What'd you expect when he was selected by the powers that selected the Pope and selected Mayor de Blasio? You expected some honesty? Now, here's a ripe one. Here's a beautiful one. You know how much I love the homeless. You know how much sympathy I have for the homeless, don't you? Really, tremendous amount of sympathy for them. Cities watch as Portland, Oregon allows homeless to sleep on sidewalks and camp in public spaces. More psycho-liberals. Well, Portland was taken over a long time ago by psychopaths. So now they're going to let homeless bums to set up tents in the streets of Portland, Oregon. They can bunk down on city sidewalks or pitch tents on public rights of way during evening hours, with the understanding they can pack up and move out by 7 a.m. As you well know, the homeless people are very organized people. They're very punctual people. They have a way with making sure that they remember things. So you know they're setting their alarm clocks in those tents in the streets after snorting crack all night and laying in their own fecal matter. That alarm clock's going to go off at 6:55. They pack up their tent and clean up their refuse. Yeah, sure. This is called the degeneration of the United States of America, but they gave it a name. It's called the Safe Sleep Policy, in which individuals or groups can pick secure, lighted areas to lay down sleeping bags and tarps in the streets of Portland, Oregon. Wait, it gets even better. Tents are also allowed under Mayor Hale's policies. Okay, my friends, it's getting worse by the second. As Psycho Barry continues his world apology tour, I continue my tour of reality. You know what I want to talk about today? The strange birth of New York City's gun laws. Do you know that? Yeah, I'm going to talk about the gun laws of New York City, because when I was a kid, there was a Sullivan Law. And if you were caught with a gun, you went to prison. Do you know that the Sullivan Law is still on the books? But what you don't know is that Sullivan was a gangster, a crooked Tammany Hall crook. A Tammany Hall crooked politician named Big Tim Sullivan, exactly like Big Tim de Blasio. The same type, in my opinion. Then you had Tammany Hall, today you have de Blasio Hall. An overseer of everything wrong with politics today. But that gangster, Big Tim Sullivan, passed the Sullivan Act, which mandated police-issued licenses for handguns, and made it a felony to carry an unlicensed concealed weapon. It was in place when I lived in New York as a kid, where everyone was afraid of that law. And you know that law is still on the books? What you don't know is that ordinary citizens were disarmed by this gangster, Big Tim Sullivan. You think the Sullivan Law was passed by an honest cop? It was passed by a criminal cop. Gang violence did not drop under the Sullivan Act. It actually took off after the passage of Prohibition in 1920 because the average citizen couldn't protect himself. Good, that topic's finished. Don't call me on it. No gun nuts. I just covered the gun story. All right, next case. Expert warns Facebook could be eavesdropping through your phone. Did you know that? Old Marky Zuckermouth? The one that Cornflake went to and kowtowed to? Cornflake was trying to sell his dead site? Facebook could be tapping into not users' phones, interests, and online habits, but also your private conversations, a new report has revealed. Zuckerface admits that it uses your microphone to identify the things you're listening to or watching. based on the music and TV matches we're able to identify. But some experts believe that Facebook is not being fully transparent. Once the microphone feature is enabled, Facebook can listen into your private conversation even when one is not actively engaging with the app, meaning they could turn it on. And they listen to certain buzzwords which enable the Facebook fascist site to weave the content that appears on news feeds to suit users' personal interests. For example, in an NBC report, the feature was tested by Kelly Burns, a professor of mass communication at the University of South Florida. In the experiment, she says aloud with her microphone feature on, quote, "I'm really interested in going on an African safari. I think it'd be wonderful to ride in one of those jeeps," close quote. Well, she checked her Facebook newsfeed 60 seconds later. The first item to appear was a safari story. She then also noticed an advertisement for Jeep vehicles. She said, "I don't think that people realize how much Facebook is tracking every move you're making online. Anything that you're doing on your phone, Facebook is watching," Burns remarked. My friends, you thought that when fascism returned, it would be to the tune of the Horst Wessel song. You thought they'd be marching to a Nazi tune and banging a drum. Little did you know it would be a slime ball in an undershirt who would be the new Fuhrer. And while you're at it, I have been nominated to be inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame, one of four individuals. We're going to have a press release up about that shortly. You're going to be able to vote for me come June 20th simply by texting a certain number. And I hope you spend all of your time with your whole social network voting for me. I'm not one of those people in radio says, "Oh, I don't really care. I really don't care if I get that stupid award. I don't really want it." And then when they win it, "I'm not even going to the award ceremony. I don't need it. I'm so great. I don't need any awards." Well, I want the award. So I'm gonna lobby for it, since I may as well lobby for myself, because if I am not for myself, who will be you? Be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. I have other, boring topics. Fifth Circuit Court should uphold the ruling that Texas's photo ID law is discriminatory. Who wrote that? Communist lawyers who should be deported. State's photo ID law is the strictest in the nation, has been ruled discriminatory three times. They sent this to me, Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. If you ever saw what I wrote them, I said all of you ought to be deported to China and see if your law would apply there, that the photo ID laws are discriminatory. Never heard from them again. So don't think I can't do politics. I can do it if I want. I'm not in the mood right now. We have great sound. Sometimes when I get in the mood, I actually look at my dog and call him by my brother's name. And the dogs, will respond to you the way you want. Like I say, are you Jerry? And of course, he'll look at me. Now you think he's saying yes, but it's anthropomorphism. I'm projecting a response from him, I guess. That's how anyone would see that. But I often wonder if there is reincarnation, and we don't really know. Let's say there is. Why is it not possible that a person who was born so crippled and could come back as a healthy animal? You say, well, that's a step down from a crippled human, is it? What would you rather be if at the end of the day, when you're in front of God, and he says to you, look, you have a choice. You can come back as a crippled human being or as a healthy dog. What would you choose? Think about that one. So I don't know. You see, this is the mystery of life. Mystery, mysticism, get it? Mystique, mystery, mysticism, mystique, all connected. It's mysterious. Do we really know? Does anyone listening to this show really think that they really know what's on the other side? Nobody knows. They can tell you they do. They can do the mumbo-jumbo, the hocus-pocus. They can pull out the Ouija board. They can rub the ball, whatever. They don't know anything. That's why we're humans. What do we know? Nothing. However smart you are, what does anyone really know what's on the other side? Nobody does. So we have to deal with this, the imponderable, as it were, in our own way. And we all have our own way of coping with the abyss of what is there. What is this all about? I think about it quite often. I have since I'm a child, by the way. There's nothing new. It's not because I'm older. I thought about when I was five, the same thing. What is it all about? Where does it end? What's life? What's death? I mean, we all do it. And I'll bring it right down to politics. Why do I support Trump? Borders, language, culture. Period. End of story. Just as I worry about my survival, I worry about America's survival. Hillary will decimate what's left of this country by further destroying our border patrol, by further bastardizing our language, by introducing more languages into the schools where no one knows anything, there's a Tower of Babel, and by stepping on our culture with her obsession with politically correct insanity. She would be the worst disaster imaginable. Now you understand the politics of it all, you get it? Here are some of the topics. Why do people dislike Hillary Clinton, and sick New York City now lets you choose from 31 different gender identities. To show you the extent of mental illness, individuals living in NYC can choose from a minimum of 31 different gender identities, many of which allow them to fluctuate between some version or combination of male or female identities. Wait, it gets even better under the corrupt de Blasio, the pay-for-play de Blasio. Businesses that don't respect and accommodate an individual's chosen gender identity risk incurring six-figure fines under rules implemented by the fascist city's Commission on Human Rights. Oh, my goodness. Well, we'll tell you what the gender identities are in case you figured out by now that your grandfather and grandmother were not sure of themselves. You know, they didn't know who they were. I mean, grandpa and grandma didn't know whether they were a man or a woman. They could have been a gender bender. Your grandmother could have been a third sex androgynous. Your grandfather could have really been gender gifted. That old rabbi that you see in a picture? Well, he may have been two-spirit or third sex and not know it. That's why he went into religion. Ask de Blasio. This is the new world that you're living in. But this is what's going on now in the insane America, and I'm here to try and save you from the psychos before it's too late. Because one day, as sure as I'm sitting here, and I'm hanging on that clock's pendulum, this pendulum is moving to the right. And when it hits them, they're not going to know what hit them, and they're going to all slide off that pendulum. They're going to fall right back where they came from. I guarantee it. And I'm Michael Savage.
Savage.
I was reading a story about a beautiful, successful blonde doctor, a married mother of three, a dermatologist, no less, married to a dermatologist from Roslyn, New York, three beautiful children, right? And she was found dead in Manhattan in the doorway of a weird apartment building, her panties stashed in her handbag, dying of a drug overdose. Kirsten Rickenbach-Cerveny. On the face of it all, she had everything. If you looked at her on Instagram or Facebook, she was the perfect woman. Doctor, husband, doctor, three children, nice house, great career. Meanwhile, she was leading a second life, a double life, as it were. I have a question for you in the audience, those of you secretly using drugs. Are you ready for this? What is your hidden double life? Don't tell me you don't have one, because you do. You look at the Facebook page of this young doctor. Photo album, photogenic, well-loved, well-traveled, celebrating her birthday in 08 with her husband, Andrew, also a dermatologist. Dressed up in another picture for a formal event, looking carefree. People said on Instagram or Facebook, what a good-looking couple. There's pictures of the doctor in Jackie O-style sunglasses on vacation in Hawaii. There she is partying in New Orleans. There she is skiing in Whistler. There she's in a thick spa robe. There she is dining by the fireplace, living with a family in her home in Manhasset, Long Island. On Facebook, she seemed to be filled with a great life. Happy people all around her. Do you know that there are 80 million photos posted on Instagram every day? 80 million. I've never posted a photo on Instagram. I heard about it. I was told to leave my website. I was told to leave Facebook. I was told to start posting on Instagram. I haven't gotten to that. I'm using the equivalent of the Royal Portable in social media. I'm an old-fashioned guy. I'm using Facebook. That took me years to even bother with, to be honest with you. 1.49 billion active users per month on Instagram. Twitter has 316 million active accounts. Tumblr has 230 million. Pinterest has 47.66 million unique visitors from the U.S. alone, and is the fastest-growing independent site in history. Now, what is the point of all of this? Because most of us are leading two lives, one online, one offline. And studies that are coming out show us that those who live online more than they live, let's say, in the real life, the fake life they're posting, makes them more vulnerable to depression. And if you're spending hours on social media, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you are probably more vulnerable to depression, loneliness, and low self-worth. This has been studied, by the way, and I can give you the studies. And the study authors of this particular study from Germany who monitored 584 Facebook users, they found that one out of three feel worse after checking what their friends were up to, especially if those friends had just posted vacation photos. Did you know any of this? Overall, wrote the authors of the study, shared content does not have to be explicitly boastful for feelings of envy to emerge. In fact, they said a lonely user might envy numerous birthday wishes his more sociable peer receives on his Facebook wall. Equally, a friend's change in the relationship status from single to in a relationship might cause emotional havoc for someone undergoing a breakup, because these studies are coming out. And even kids as young as 15 years old or even younger, if they find out they're not invited to a school dance, they go into severe depression. Did you know any of this? Thank God it wasn't around when I was a kid. I have no idea what I would have done on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. I had enough trouble without all of that fake life out there. But what I'm saying is people use these sites to create false images of themselves. They run their perfect lives on these sites. They take photographs of a piece of their apartment that is staged by IKEA, while the rest of their apartment is in chaos, not in IKEA. They're using one wall that is perfect, while the rest of the house is a disaster. And they buy things just to maintain that little image. That's how sick this is. And so people are talking about this story right now. And it all goes back to the hidden life of Kirsten Rickenbach Cerveny, the dermatologist with the three beautiful children. She was beautiful. Winds up dead in the doorway of a drug overdose with the panties in a bag. You hear? That's what the parents sacrificed to send her to medical school for, so she could wind up dead in the doorway with the panties in a bag. But she's not alone, and I'm not mocking her. I'm not glorifying her. She did what she did. That's what she did. She walked on the wild side, and she OD'd. That's all. It happened. But there's a bigger story there, because she's not the only one leading a double life. Perhaps you are. The topic of the day is, what is your double life? What are you secretly doing that no one knows about? And I'm tying it into, whether you know it or not, the lies on Facebook. The fake lives people are putting up about how happy they are. The little Hallmark life that they put up, and it's making people totally crazy. There is an anti-social media movement on the horizon that I'm trying to tell you about. People are starting to react to this, because especially young mothers, we're finding out, are feeling pressure to present their perfect life on these Instagrams, and they're starting to feel overwhelmed and annoyed, according to the studies. Here's an example. Young people, pay attention. Especially if you're very accomplished and you're very beautiful. Are you ready for this one? They're the most vulnerable. Here's a story. Madison Hollerin, beautiful Ivy League student, star athlete, all-around popular girl. Her Instagram account only underscored this image. Parties, friends, track meets, her dad cheering her on. But Madison was keenly aware of the difference between her online life and a real one. And she once corrected a mother who told ESPN the magazine that after looking at Madison's photos, she turned to her daughter and said, "Madison, you look like you're so happy at this party." Mom, Madison said, "It's just a picture." Well, here's the sad truth. On January 14, 2014, Madison posted a photo of trees strung with lights, bulbs glowing against the twilight. An hour later, she leapt to her death from the ninth floor of a parking garage. So if you think that there are no consequences to living online, I got news for you, okay? And the callers, and by the way, the girl was 19 years old. What are you hiding out there on the Savage Nation? We're talking about your secret double life. If you just tuned in, what's real and what's fake about you? Oh, what? The average guy driving around in a car just said, what did he just say, that guy Savage? What's real and what's fake? Yeah, what's fake about you? What do you do that no one knows about? What's your secret double life? This is radio at its best. We're talking about that. We're talking about Michael Savage being interviewed by Ryan King. And what you thought of that interview? Yeah, he teed me up with questions like, Trump wants to make America great again. Why, it's not great enough. Where do you want to take us back to? Slavery? The Depression? Women can't vote? That was absurd. He was a little trapped when I said that's an absurd argument. It's called reducto ad absurdum. You know what that is, Larry. He didn't know what it was. I can't, he didn't go to college or high school, I don't think. But he's a very intelligent man. Frankly, a nice man. I like the guy. I'll have a bagel with him, even though I'm not eating gluten these days. Actually, I'm eating no wheat at all. Actually, I'm not eating any starch these days. But I still break a bagel with him. Let's put it to you this way. I'll take the whole, not the bagel. I could talk about this one some other day, because there are rules to this kind of combat, verbal combat. people who are jujitsu artists in the physical world understand how to use movements against force and use the other man's force against him. And there's a third way, which is not even to react to the man at all. And that man will often go right off the mat. In other words, he comes at you, you step aside, he'll fall off the mat without you even doing a thing. And I think that at a certain point in your life, if you were in the state of mind for it, I wasn't in a particularly secure state of mind. I had rushed that day. Things had happened that I won't even want to describe. But I'm such a consummate professional that by the time I got in front of that Skype camera, there was nothing but me and him on that screen. And nothing happened to me before it, and I had no life before that moment. You know, that's a very important point. It's the same with Trump speaking on a stage. When he's on that stage, he had no life before that stage. This is the thing about oratorical skills. This is the thing about presentation in any sphere of your life, whether you're playing golf or you're speaking to a large auditorium or you're speaking on a microphone to millions of people. There's no past, by the way, and there is no future. You're living in the present. And the present dictates terms to you that you may not have expected, and you just got to be ready to move with the present, is what I'm saying. Larry King is, sort of, sad to say, he's a nice guy. No one watches him. He's on a little, you know, show on RT. They asked me to come on for the book a week before, and I canceled. I didn't want to do it. I didn't feel well, and I didn't think it was important enough. How many people really watch him on RT? Tiny audience. Maybe 1/1,000th of my audience here on radio, okay? But I did it for a couple of reasons. I wanted the people to see Teddy in Russia, in case they wanted to make a statue to him in Lenin Square. I thought they should see a picture of him in Russia. When see, it's an international show. That was the reason I wanted to be on RT. You got to remember something. I didn't have a script in front of me. I went on to talk about the book. He had a script in front of him. He kept looking down for the questions and the repeat questions, and I don't know whether he had a little glass prompter. I don't know. I'm not here to embarrass him. I hate to keep saying it because people don't want to hear it anymore. I had to learn to think quickly as a kid in New York. Let me put it to you that way. You really, you know, like the quick and the dead. You ever hear that one? It's as simple as that. I was not a particularly tall kid. I wasn't particularly strong. Just to go to the bathroom in PS48 required pretty good skills. Let's put it to you that way. I learned to use my mind in order to survive. In those today, but they didn't shoot you in those days. Of course, it was a peaceful world compared to the animals of today. I mean, you went to the bathroom, the worst that happened is you get beaten up a little bit. But today, you don't even come out of the bathroom alive. You come out dead in New York today in some neighborhoods. That's how wonderful it's become. But going back to my primitive days, I had to learn to think quickly. Also, in my family, to be honest, it was a very competitive family, as were most immigrant families of that time. Eastern European people were extremely picky on each other, whether they were Italian or Jewish. They picked on each other. The father and the mother and the children, everyone was fighting with each other all day long. Don't think I'm making it up. It was not life with father. Let me put it to you that way. Ask any Italian what life was like with his father in the household, or any Jewish guy from that generation. So in other words, you were put on the spot instantly all the time of everything, a meatball. Whatever you did, you were challenged. So that makes you learn to think fast. It was a survival skill. It was a hazing. Today the father would be arrested for hazing you to think fast. The police would come in and arrest them for making you think fast. Oh, look what you did to your kid. You made him think fast. How do you like that? What if the kid can't think fast? What, now they should arrest the father for trying to make him think faster? I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, my friends, you see what's going on in the country. It's history repeating itself. That's right. You know what's going on. Headlines say, Trump rally causes riots. Protests at Trump rallies turn violent, as though the people who are attending the Trump rallies are doing it. You well know who's doing it. It's the New York Post doing it. It's the Associated Press doing it. And behind it all is the evil genius, George Soros. To the best of my knowledge, the best I can figure out, these violent, ugly third worlders are being funded by, and they're funded. You think they're just showing up spontaneously? Isn't this odd that there are riots at these rallies for Donald Trump and they're calling them protests? Listen to what people are saying. I mean, you read what people are saying and you understand what the American people are saying. And the fact of the matter is, the more they riot, the more they beat up people in wheelchairs, the more they attack cops, the more they turn over police cars, the more people are turning to Donald Trump. So keep it up, all of you intolerant vermin, because your time is coming. You will see justice in your lifetime, and you know it. You don't tolerate the views of those you don't agree with, and you think you're living in America. What you're doing is you're imposing your third world values on us, and we're not going to take it. I'll be very honest with you. These freaks want the U.S. taxpayer to accept the financial burden of Mexico's impoverished, while the Mexican government officials live in luxury. The United States, if it is not stopped, the U.S. will become an appendage of Mexico, another poverty-stricken state of Mexico, which is why Trump is rising. The topic of the day is, what is your double life? Tell me what's real and fake in the political world. How about Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Starbucks, pretending to be run by super left-wingers in favor of illegal immigration, gay and lesbian rights, global warming issues? What about their tax structure? Facebook, the social media titan, paid just £4,000 in corporation tax in 2014, despite reporting UK revenues of £105 million. What is that, 4%? Nice. Hey, that's good, Marky. I like that one. How about Apple? They made $34 billion in profit during the year, the 2014, in England, in the UK. $34 billion, Apple. And how much did they pay in British corporation tax? $11.8 million pounds. Can you believe the numbers I'm giving you? How about Amazon, all of these great liberal companies? The online shopping giant took in $5.3 billion in sales from British shoppers in 2014. Take a guess what they paid in British corporation tax. $11.9 million pounds. Starbucks, another great liberal. Oh, he gives speeches every day about illegal immigration and be nice. The coffee chain paid just $8.6 million of tax over 14 years between 1998 and 2012 when sales totaled $3 billion. So you're talking about two-faced. How about Hillary Clinton? She says she's for America, but she has a plan to dissolve U.S. border within 100 days. You can read all about it. How about the anti-Trump protesters? They claim they're doing it because they're peace lovers, but they're violent communist street agitators waving American waving Mexican flags in America. They're not protesters. They're rioters. They are hate groups. They should be put down by the police. But they won't be put down by the police because of the two-faced president. But let's go back to the individuals listening to the show. I asked you, are you leading a double life? And many people have called with, I think, some fascinating stories. I'd like to change it a little bit in this hour, in the time that remains, to this. Many of you don't lead double lives. Many of you don't lead double lives. You lead with your life. But you probably secretly wish you could do something. I want to tap into that secret wish, the secret life you wish you could be leading. That's something that everyone listening to the show could relate to. Most people listen to the show very straight, and they lead straight lives. But inside them, there's someone else waiting to come out. Who is that someone else? What is it that you sometimes, or sometimes more than you'd like to admit, wish you could be doing, or wish that you could be? Now, there's no bigger charade than the so-called peace protesters waving Mexican flags, violently beating up police horses, hitting them with sticks and stones, forcing the horses to panic, burning things, breaking cars, breaking windows, and saying they're doing it in the name of peace. There's no bigger phony than a liberal in a riot line. They call Trump the fascist. He's not the fascist. He's the American. They are the fascists. Frankly, I can't wait for him to become president and crack down on these vermin. And I can't wait until Interpol is contacted to break down the doors of those living in foreign countries who are conducting this in the United States of America. And I can name them because we know who they are.
Savage.